I'll tell you, I don't know if y'all ever had a hug from God before, but I got one this week. As a matter of fact, it was such a good one, I called my parents and I put a little voice message on their machine. It was about 3 sentences long, and it basically told them the entire compass of the hug. You see, God, when He speaks to you, He doesn't take an oracle and read and explain things for hours and hours. He just does it real simply, powerfully, right where you're at. Why? Because God knows exactly what you need, and He doesn't waste words. And as we move along, you're going to see that what we're talking about is God leading us and how He leads us in our lives. How He moves us along. There's an old song my dad used to sing when he first started playing guitar called God Leads His Dear Children Along. It was the first song he ever sang in church. He could barely play the guitar back in 1979. I think it was 79. It was my senior, 1981, there it was. That's when he first started playing guitar. He'd try and play the thing and he couldn't play it real well. And one day he came into my room and he recorded himself singing it, and he's fumbling around with the chords and he's singing this song, God Leads Us Along. You know the song? In shady green pasture, so rich and so sweet, God leads His dear children along. Where the water, cool flow, bathes the weary one's feet, God leads His dear children along. Some through the fire, some through the flood, some through the water, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. He sang that song, and I recorded it on a cassette way back 6 years ago. Used to have it. I don't have it anymore. But I remember, because my dad couldn't play guitar very well, it was the first thing I saw him not do well. And it was kind of unique, because dad is struggling and I'm laughing. And he's going, struggling, and when I'm laughing, I'm saying, Dad, are you sure you know the song? Do you know the song? And he says, I know God leads me. But how does He lead us? First of all, He has to lead us to a place where we know we need it. Where without His cleansing, we're not clean. Without His blessing, we're not blessed. Without His provision, we have nothing. Without the Holy Spirit, we can never please God. Without Jesus, we're just waiting to die. And so in Psalm 139, this same David, years later, and if you missed this, it's because you didn't read it with Psalm 51. He begins by saying that, Lord, You've searched me and known me. You know my downsea, my uprising. You understand my thoughts afar off. And he goes on to say that God formed him in his womb, and etc. But listen to verse 3. He says, Thou compassest my path and my laying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. The word compassest refers to a compass. It's a direction. It's saying, You direct my paths. Now, this is the same guy who messed up terribly with Bathsheba. And yet he's saying that, God, You knew all my paths. You knew I would mess up and You let me do it anyway. Why does God let bad things happen in our lives? Because it's through some of those events and through some of those tragic things, losses, pain, storms, hurricanes, that we turn to God and say, I need You. And we see what it's like to have life without God when we abandon Him in our lives. And when we turn to God and we say, God, You're the only one. God says, I hear that. Do you remember the story of Lazarus? He's dead 4 days. He's laying in the grave. And they're saying, oh Lord, if You hadn't been here, he wouldn't have died. And Lazarus is dead. Folks, I don't know about you, but there's not a doctor on this planet that I know of that'll touch that man and say, well, we've got a pretty good chance of prognosis for cure here. Did you know that the only thing Lazarus could do there was sit there and rot? And the people even said, he stinks. He's been dead 4 days. It's all we can do when we die without Jesus is rot. And Jesus comes along and Lazarus can do nothing. If Lazarus could have saved himself dead, He would have. But who had to do it? Jesus. You see, even the dead have hope in Jesus. We walk around sometimes dead alive. And what we don't understand is that that path of Lazarus was also understood by Jesus before Lazarus was born. David says, you know all my days before they ever happened. And you know what I'm going to do and you know my responses. You already know. And you're using each of those to bring me closer to you. I believe that when David messed up with Bathsheba committing adultery with her and having her husband sent to war to die, that he was not really totally 100% God's. I believe David still had some attributes in himself that he didn't really consider himself 100% faithful to God. And he messed up. It wasn't pretty. It was ugly. Because of it, he did not get the full blessing of the kingdom. He had consequences even after he repented. It always happens that way. But what I want to share with you is God allowed David to do that because he got David afterward. He said, David, if you knew beforehand what I knew, that I was allowing you to have this tragedy in your life, to be broken, so that you would know what life is without me, that you would thank me for the misery you put yourself through. That doesn't sound pleasant, does it? Thank you, Lord, for the misery I put myself through by my own ignorance, by my own self-deceit. But thank you. And David says, you know my paths, and you let me walk them. Why? Because left to our own devices, we wind up alone. And when you feel alone, you're going to search for someone who's close, closer than a brother. And there's only one who's always there at any time. And nobody could talk to David about that. There's no one he could talk to. None of his commanders, none of his people. He couldn't tell his wife. Not an expect understanding and compassion. But he could tell God. And that's who he went to. He said, God, I learned the hard way. But it's your way or no way. Think about that a moment. That God knows your paths you've been on and the ones you will take. He lets you walk them until you come to a place where you experience the destitute life you have without Him. So you become desperate enough to say, I need you. I need you now. I need you always. And God will say, don't ever forget this. And He'll give you a thorn in the flesh to help you remember. Just like He did the Apostle Paul. There's some things you'll pray for that God won't take away. He'll say, you need that because my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Because you're going to always have to call on me. There's always going to be something that God is working on in us so that we don't think we're perfect. Toward the end of seminary career, if you will, I'd gotten discouraged. Frustrated. And I went to my advisor and I said, I really don't think I'm called to do this. He said, why? I said, because the pressure, the church, I got projects due, I just don't think I can do it. And I got a deadline, I just don't think I can handle it. And my advisor said, I want you to do something. I said, what? He said, just take the afternoon off, take a walk. And so I started walking out toward the edge of town, and walking it, and as I got up toward the edge of town, there's these woods on the left-hand side of the road, and a clearing, and a bunch of sheep were in that clearing. On the side next to the road was a fence. around that clearing were trees, very thick. And I decided to watch them a while and see what they would do if I just watched them and didn't say anything. And I sat down on a stump across the road and I began to watch them, and I realized that I didn't know how they got in there. I couldn't figure it out. And the sheep were happy grazing, so I didn't say anything to mess it up for them. And I was just trying to ponder, how did they get in this place? I could see no farmhouse, and all I saw was thick forest in this little clearing. And after being there about 30 minutes or so, just watching them, thinking I was the same way, a sheep stuck in a place, not knowing how to get out, not knowing how I got there, but felt like I was trapped. But after about 30 minutes, there was a rustling sound on the far edge, and a figure appeared on the edge of the forest. I don't know where he came from. All I know was that when he came out of the clearing, he began to call the sheep by name, one by one, and they lined up single file, as he did. And I said, now, what's he going to do with them? And as he began to walk, you could see that there was some brush over an opening, and he moved it aside and led them through to the other side where they were going. As I sat there, John 10 came to my heart and said, my sheep know my voice, right? And they hear me, and they will not follow another. They will not listen or follow another. And if that's the case, then God hears my voice. But I want to share with you the flip side of the coin. Because when we pray, we want God to hear us. And Scripture tells us over and over again that if God hears His child begging for bread, He won't give him a stone. Or if he needs food, He won't give him a snake. That God will bless His child. But God hears the voice when we call of only two people, and that's it. Those begging for mercy and His children. That's all He hears. And so sometimes we say, God, why don't you hear my voice? It's because God has to know you call Him Father. Because God knows your voice as His child. And God knows your voice when you're asking Him for help that only He can give. And this morning, in the face of Katrina on the coast, God is beginning to hear voices saying, only you, God. Only you. And He's coming to them. And He hears. And He understands. And He knows. Scripture says that God wants us not to be orphans. Because when we're orphans without a father in heaven, we got no answer to prayer. We got no blessings because the name we call on isn't God. And you say, but I believe in God and I love God and I'm His child. But sometimes you call on Him and you don't call on Him thinking that He's the only one who can help you. Or trust that His ways are better than yours. And you want to tell God how things should be. And when you begin to tell God how things should be, you become God again. And that's not holy. We are servants and children. We're asking our Heavenly Father to help us in prayer. To acknowledge that He blesses us and only He can. That He's with us when no one else is. And when God comes to us, He embraces us. He opens His arms like this. I like during the revival, I can't remember which night it was, He said the story of the prodigal father. That every single day when that son left, the father ran down the lane looking for his son. Because you see, God's eyes are searching the earth, looking for someone righteous who will call upon His name, or someone who seeks His face. And God is continually looking for someone as such who would call Him Father. For it says clearly in Scripture that He's seeking those that He would call His own. And this morning, if you understand that God is your Father, He hears your prayers. And if you're His child, He hears your prayers. And He's saying, when you pray to Me, receive a blessing. I'm calling you to come in. If you need a good image in your mind for what God looks like when you pray, God is not sitting there like this. About time. God is not sitting there like this. Shame on you. God is not sitting here like this. He's not turning His back on you. God is not doing that. Rather, God is on the edge of His seat like this. I'm waiting. I'm waiting for you to acknowledge Me as your Father. I'm waiting for you to realize that I'm the only one who can change you on the inside, who can take all the stains and the pains away, who can bring you to a place of holiness and righteousness, that I'm the only one. And to prove that I'm the only one, I sent My Son, whom I love, to embrace you as well. To bless you. And is it ironic that when Jesus died, He died with His arms outstretched, like He's embracing us, welcoming us in to the kingdom? Isn't that ironic? He knows you. And if He's your Father, when He calls your name, He will lead you out of the place where you feel stuck, through the undergrowth, to a place of rest. Only God can do that. Will you let Him? Will you let Him run your life and lead you in paths of righteousness for His name's sake? I'm in front of you, speaking the Word of God to you, because He's been faithful even before that day in front of that pastor. It works. And God's still working. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank You that You've loved us with an everlasting love. Brought us to a place of strength and reassurance. And as we gather this morning, Heavenly Father, lift us up. Cause us to be seated in high places after we spend some time learning of You. Thank You, Lord, for Your blessing and Your peace and Your strength. In Jesus' name, Amen.